Has when you're in need, you know. And now, yeah.
This is messy. From the day the remake was announced to be made, and thinking, how would this be done? But there's more to see than can ever be seen, and more to talk about than we ever thought we'd talk about. It's the new version of The Lion King.
I'm just going right to the circle of life.
We're singing that song. We're dishing on The Lion King, guys. It just came out. Have you seen it? We have.
You probably have seen it because it's like...
It's 300, everything.
300 million, I think, is what they're expected to take in. So
holy shit.
We'll be talking about that.
Yeah. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes. And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. All right. Let's start this circle of life.
We missed 1 week and like...
And we're just totally off. So it is 103 degrees today, guys. So we know what it would feel like on Pride Rock. That's nice.
I think it'd be hotter.
Probably even hotter.
They're close to the Serengeti.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you geographically know exactly where they are?
I'm assuming that's the only desert I know in Africa.
True.
So.
But how well do you know your African geography?
I don't even know America.
So, of course, today, Rolando and I are joined by Eddie. Say hi, Eddie.
Hey, guys.
Did you see the new Lion King, Eddie?
I did, which wasn't my game plan at all for this weekend.
Were you excited for it? Or
so originally, I was not excited about seeing The Lion King. I don't know. I just was not looking forward to kind of this live action talking animals.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
I really loved the Jungle Book, and I think that was just like, that was good enough for me.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't looking forward to it. So originally I was supposed to go with Ro, and then I had some a family change up, and I said, okay, you know, fine, great. I won't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obligation there. But then the moment I get to my sister's house, she's like, hey, we're going to go see The Lion King tonight.
Like,
you want to come?
Podcast? You have a podcast. You can go. We'll all see you together.
It's like, I said, okay, I guess I'm coming to see The Lion King this weekend.
Ooh, and I wonder if you regretted that or not, or if you actually enjoyed it more.
But we should wait until we actually talk about the Lion King remake, yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys know, but this is mid-July 2019 that we're talking. A trailer was just released for the new movie musical of Cats.
And, oh, that's right, yes.
And it's kind of like the internet's kind of going crazy about it because it's pretty much the way that they look on stage in a film. But yeah, then they're like shrunken down into size.
Catastrophe.
Yeah, it does look like a catastrophe. So it's interesting because this is the other approach where the actors are actually playing in like full costume and makeup and so just not animal-like form. So it's the anti kind of Lion King because it's doing that. And I wonder like what is the true perfect form for doing something that's a quote-unquote live-action adaptation of a musical with actors, with lines, with songs, all of this stuff into a movie that's no longer a cartoon.
Right.
So that's just a question I want to pose out there before we get into it. So, having said that, are you ready to time travel back to 1994? From the day we arrived on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there's more to see than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever. 1994. What a year for cinema. The film that won the Best Picture at the Oscars that year was this terrible film called Forrest Gump. But you know what else?
Terrible?
I do not like Forrest Gump. Wow. Because also, listen to what was made in 1994.
Listeners, please write in and let us know why. Yes. Nicole is wrong on her opinions on Forrest Gump.
I am not wrong. Pulp Fiction came out that year. Yeah. The Shawshank Redemption came out that year. Overrated.
I made a face. Is that anything? It's no. Yeah, I do think it's overrated.
It's
a good
overrated
movie. I like it,
but it's like everyone's
favorite
movie.
Everyone loves it. Like it's like this like achievement in cinema. And it's just like it's a fine movie.
Yeah, it's okay, guys. That's it.
Especially the bros. Bros love this fucking movie.
Yes. It's very much a man movie. Yeah.
Oh, we should try to keep our language clean just because this is like a family-friendly movie in case families want to listen to this podcast.
Again. Should I not say man movie?
No, you can say man movie. I'm just saying.
Okay. In general. Curse, so let's try to, okay.
I'm calling myself out.
Well, also in 1994, this is also, you know, this is the Clinton era. He just started his presidency.
How far are we from the scandal?
Oh, we're like 2 years.
Okay.
So we're not that far.
It's looming. So it's probably already happened. The deed was probably already done.
Yes.
We're just not in the actual scandal territory.
He's getting his dick sucked as we speak in terms of
language. We just said language.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Highest grossing film of that year. Also, highest grossing animated film of all time. And also, highest selling VHS ever, The Lion King, comes out in 1994.
At its time. I don't think it's the highest grossing animated film anymore.
Well, maybe at the time it was. But if
Definitely, most certainly at the time.
If you look it up, though, it still holds a lot of titles. Because, like, let's just say that The Lion King, when it came out, was fucking massive. Okay, this is the Disney renaissance. We've already discussed Beauty and the Beast. We discussed Aladdin. We kind of discussed Little Mermaid last week in our minisode, but they're coming out with The Little Mermaid soon. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was Little Mermaid 89, Beauty and the Beast 1991, Aladdin 92, and now here we are in 1994 with The Lion King. And some say this is where the Disney renaissance ends.
Whoa, some would argue that. I mean,
Think about it.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame was good.
Was it as good as those films?
And you know what it is? The Hunchback of Notre Dame, I love it personally because it's darker. It has like a much darker tone. And it's even much more depressing than the other ones. It felt more like realistic in a certain level.
But also, the film that came out right after was Pocahontas. And that just wasn't to the...
That's just America's racism showing. They don't want to see a story about a Native American.
True. Yes. Well, I mean, but there's a lot of other terrible things and America's racism showing in all these other films. But why did they?
Oh no, no, no! I mean,
even
American
in Aladdin.
Audiences.
Oh, American audiences.
Not the producers. I'm talking about American audiences.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're perfectly fine films that came after The Lion King, but I think in terms of like the reaction that the public got, and then like the lasting power within our pop culture, like The Lion King was probably the peak of it all, and then like everything just wasn't the same, you know. Mm-hmm. None of these other musicals that came after, and some of them even before. I mean, like, okay, so it had a sequel. I don't think it was theatrically released.
No, the only one that got theatrical release of the sequels was Lion King 1.5.
Okay.
I think that got theatrical release. VHS.
It was the highest grossing film of 1994. Uh-huh. And it was the VHS that sold the most copies.
Oh.
And I think people till this day are still buying it. Because VHSs are making a comeback with the hipster community.
Oh yeah, but that's not gonna last.
Well, you know, people still buy vinyls.
Ugh, that's true.
But VHS can come back.
Yeah, but a vinyl brings an actual quality to the audio.
Oh, yeah, no, VHS is terrible. It's just for the nostalgic factor. I hope people get over it and realize that it's not a trend that should come back.
I actually have all my VHSs of like all my Disney movies.
You should get rid of them because that's no way to watch a movie.
Why? Apparently hipsters are buying them. I guess I'm at a pretty profit.
So, 1994. This was directed by Roger Ellers and...
Tim Rice.
No. Oh. Rob Minkoff. I'm sure my handwriting is very sloppy. The music, right? So the music for the other films were written by Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, but then Howard Ashman died, and I don't know why, but they went into a different direction. So they got Elton John and Tim Rice to compose the music for The Lion King.
Whoa. Are you arguing that was a bad choice?
No.
Oh, okay. Because your tone made it seem like you was just like, why would they pick these two people? Because the opening song that we just riffed on... It's so memorable.
It is. You assume the worst of me.
It was your delivery.
Oh, it was my delivery.
It was your delivery.
No, I actually think that The Lion King has a really strong soundtrack. The songs that annoy me in The Lion King don't annoy me as much as the songs that do in the other musicals.
What? Oh, okay. Yes.
So, but actually, to be honest, the only two songs that annoy me from The Lion King are Hakuna Matata and I Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Those are actually my two favorite ones.
Those are your two favorites.
I would say so. Oh, I just can't
wait to be king. You've run for a long way to go, young master, if you think.
No one's saying do this.
Now, when I said that,
no one's saying be there.
What I meant was.
No one's saying stop.
I'm lying. After Be Prepared.
Be Prepared is one of my favorites. I think it's a great villain song.
It is the second best villain song of all time.
I know it sounds sordid, but you'll be rewarded when at last I am given my dues.
and injustice deliciously square.
Actually, the score, even though I don't particularly like this composer, the score for The Lion King was Hans Zimmer, but I quite like his score.
This was a Hans Zimmer score?
It's a Hans Zimmer score.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
one of his earliest. So. And now Hans Zimmer's everywhere.
Yeah, he didn't have that like kind of Hans Zimmer-ness, like that wah.
Yeah, that yeah, that's like, what he's for. Evolved into. But it's great music. It's got a pretty famous cast for a Disney movie of 1994.
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick plays
Jonathan
grown-up Simba.
Taylor Thomas.
He plays young Simba, who was a big star in the 90s to people who don't know who he is.
He was like, younger audiences will not know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas is.
JTT.
JTT.
Mufasa was played by Jeremy Earl Jones.
Yes.
We have Nathan Lane.
As Timon.
And
I don't know Pumbaa.
People should know who Pumbaa is. I thought he was a great voice actor, especially that part of why when he was a young warthog and he tells this whole story and it's so theatrical.
And it hurt that my friends never stood downwind. And oh, the shame!
He was a shame!
What a change in my name!
Oh, what's your name?
And I got downhearted.
How'd you feel?
Every time that I...
Hey, Pumbaa, not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry.
I was a young warthog.
Pumbaa is by Ernie Sabella.
Yeah, no clue who that is. Whoopi Goldberg was one of the hyenas, as was Cheech.
Mm-hmm.
Cheech and Chong.
So all the minorities.
Yes. Well, I guess we'll talk
other
about
than
that.
The lions.
And Jeremy Irons was Scar.
Yes, Jeremy Irons was Scar. And Rowan Atkinson was Zaza. Or Zazu, sorry.
Zazu.
And Robert Guillaume was Rafiki. Mm. So these are some of the people that were...
Interesting. They didn't pick anyone famous to play the female characters, and there were only two female characters.
Yeah, because, you know,
they had, like, barely any lines.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, the last week you accused me of being a contrarian for not being excited for this film because I'm like, The Lion King's not my favorite. And then I think you also accused me of being a contrarian for that because apparently it's everybody's favorite. The Lion King is a very good film. The premise of it is very nice. It's kind of like Hamlet.
No, it is meets, Hamlet. There's no kind of.
Meets like Cain and Abel kind of a thing. So it's pretty much Hamlet toned down.
Toned down, yeah.
There's no Ophelia in this. Yeah, there's no, but... you know, it's about the royalty of Pride Rock. And they're ruled by lions, and the brother, Scar, wants the title that Mufasa has of king, mm-hmm. and the rightful heir is Simba. So Scar, he comes up with this whole plan to overthrow the king, his brother, by killing him and sending away Simba.
Yes.
And then
brother
Simba...
side? There's a word for that. Hermana side.
It's one of those. Lion side.
Yes, it's true.
Scar,
it was lion side.
Brother, help me. So then... Simba grows up with like a warthog and what is he?
A meerkat.
A meerkat. And just completely denies his identity and his past.
Yeah, like, because he thought he's responsible
he
for
thought,
his
yeah, he lives
death.
With all this trauma.
That's a big plot point you
that
just kind of glossed
important.
Over.
he lives with a lot of trauma. He completely neglects it, buries it deep down inside until this young friend of his from his past comes into his life, Nala. They rekindle a love that they've realized they have for each other. And then he remembers who he is, which is a very important part of why The Lion King is an effective film, because it's about remembering who you are. Mm-hmm. It's knowing that, you know, like your tradition, your family is important, but like recognizing the power within you is also important. Mm. And to be a strong, brave person.
Yes.
And that's kind of the overall message that I think I get from The Lion King. And family is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody loves this movie. I'm sure you do.
I adore this movie.
It's quite good.
It's like a movie that I'll watch and I'll sit down and watch it if I ever get the chance. Like, well, obviously we did it for the podcast, but like if it's on TV, but it's never on TV. Disney protects its property like no tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I genuinely do adore The Lion King. It was for sure one of the very first movies, for example, that I ever saw my father cry in.
Mm.
Because I think when Mufasa dies, spoiler alert, guys.
Yeah.
But when Mufasa dies, like, there's nothing more heartbreaking than trying to see Simba, trying to, like, wake him up and then, like, lay in his arms.
Yeah.
And I think that might be actually, like, Disney's one of their first, like, on-screen deaths for, like, a good character. Like, a good guy.
Yes, so, yes, which, like a noble, unjustified mm-hmm. death and all this stuff that right. like was murder. Really hard to watch.
We witnessed a murder, and it's like it's heartbreaking.
No, I think I remember seeing that in theaters. I was about 6 years old, and I was just like, "What?" It really impacted me. Yeah, it's really actually really traumatizing. It was funny because my sister wanted to bring Sophia, my baby niece, who's less than like 2 years old, to see this film. And I was watching it and I was like, there's so many fond memories with it. But when you sit down and you watch it, this film is really violent. And
just
this film,
that part.
Even if it's a cartoon and all this stuff, it's kind of violent. It's really sad. It's very triggering. So I don't think.
I don't know. I mean.
But that's also why it works.
Yeah. And is it so wrong to like expose kids to the fact that like. You know, you gotta uncles choose will your kill ages. Your brother. Yeah. Uncles are going to kill your father. So maybe.
Yeah, your family members are capable of murder.
Yeah. I feel like all kids should learn this at a very young age.
Learn. True. I think, though, for less than two, that might be too much. But fine. Regardless. I mean, it's a very.
Although at less than two, you're not understanding what's happening.
Yeah.
You're literally just there for the visuals and the music.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a very nice film. You know, it's so iconic. There's so many scenes and things that like that happen in that film that have like been embedded in our pop culture.
Yeah,
you know,
Pride
from
Rock.
Like Pride Rock,
holding up
the baby. People, yes. The amount of people that do that with their newborn child. It's like I actually want to slap them. I'm like, that's not a fucking cub. That's a child.
I guess you're gonna smack me. Michael Jackson. That with my child.
That's a terrible idea. I'm judging you.
Yeah, I'm going to. Eddie's already rolling his eyes, and it's just like Eddie, just deal with it. It's gonna happen. I'm going to rub something red on his forehead, right, and then I'm gonna hold him up for everyone to see.
And then tape it, of course, for Instagram.
Can I make like a celebrity appearance as Rafiki?
Yeah, you get the bamboo stick.
I'll get the bamboo stick, the limp. Simba. You know, whenever you watch a sunset, everybody's starting to sing the beginning of the circle of life. Mm-hmm. And even like Mufasa appearing in the clouds. Like,
yes,
Simba,
that's another a beautiful sequence.
Me. Yeah. Even like, but the songs, like everyone knows Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna, yeah.
There's like,
Can you feel the love tonight?
Can you feel the love tonight? That's about it. I feel like Be Prepared is in a song that's very embedded in pop culture, and I Just Can't Wait to Be King to an extent is.
Yeah. Like, oh, if you're like a Disney, if you're a Disney fan.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? If you're like one of those like Disney files.
Yes.
Then this is like top tier Disney.
Yes, for sure. This is definitely top tier Disney. It's very strong. I feel like we've all seen this film, and because it's literally a shot for shot, I think we should really start talking about the remake.
Sure,
like
actually, that's fine.
Contrast.
Actually, only because I agree with you, this movie is basically a shot-for-shot remake.
It is.
Which is a problem.
All right, here we go. It's 2019. It's July. It's a crazy year for remakes, for reboots, and revivals. This is already the third Disney film that we've seen in theaters that we're covering.
Wait, what was the...
Dumbo
and
Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Yeah. And technically, Mary Poppins Returns is also a revival
January,
of sorts.
Yeah.
So this is
December,
a lot.
I think, but we covered it.
Yes. And we're already seeing, like, I saw the trailer for Mulan. So, like, this is, like, epic times for revisiting all Disney things. Because Disney realized that their shit is problematic and they want people to love it again, so they're remaking it to make it more appropriate for people
and also to make money
this is the quote-unquote reason, but the real reason is money.
I mean, I'm going to argue right now, I've been trying, usually with all these other remakes and stuff, I always try to see, you know, what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah,
but I think now and more it's just like seeing Disney corporations like money hungry side is just showing too much, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like I think this movie is probably where right now where I'm saying it's just like, this is just a cash grab.
It is, because it didn't really need to be remade. It didn't need to be fixed. They didn't fix anything. They didn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the purpose of doing it other than everybody loves this fucking movie?
Disagree. I would say the one thing they fixed isn't the casting, where they have predominantly black voices.
Which, why does that matter when they're animals?
I agree with you. I think maybe it's important because when... the original casting, like, they were all white voices and they all sound like they sound white. Not that I'm saying that, like, Beyonce and Childish Gambino sound black, but hearing the hyenas and they were talking in their, in the original movie.
They're clearly minorities.
Yeah, they were the minorities. That's where I think it becomes a little more problematic.
But Mufasa and, what's the mother's name?
Sarabi.
Sarabi are clearly actors of... that they're not white. They're POCs.
So Robbie was a person of color?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I don't know. So Robbie had like 5 lines. One of the best lines in the movie that got cut in this. Oh, well, the dialogue got cut. But her best line is just like, if you were half the king Mufasa was. And then Scar smacks her.
Yes.
Like, I am 10 times the king that Mufasa was. We actually haven't thrown a shout out for Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, yeah. He was very. Yeah, we'll do it in the compare and contrast later. But yeah, the actress for Sarabi is black.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting because I guess they just made it even more so that everyone who's a lion is black, even though I don't know why that matters. I mean, it's like I'm really happy about the fact that like there's representation, but I don't know. I don't identify why it's particularly needed, other than have main characters not be all white and then have like villains.
I think that's what it is. I think that's the more important thing, having the villains not be like portrayed as stereotypical minorities.
But then they didn't go against stereotyping. They didn't go against casting for the other roles. Like Zazu, they got John Oliver.
Oh, I thought that was great casting.
It was great casting because it's just like, who else can do what Rowan Atkinson did? John Oliver.
Who could do what Nathan Lane? When he's like being attacked for reporting the news. He's like, I'm just delivering the news because he has a news show.
Yeah.
That was a good joke.
Tongue in cheek.
What? Nathan Lane was Billy Eichner.
Billy Eichner. So they just replaced it with another like gay man.
Which... Now, here's, I think, the upsetting part. I kind of wish it had gotten more gay with Timon. I wish it would have made Timon and Pumbaa a gay couple in this.
That would have been adorable.
I mean, Timon and Pumbaa were basically a gay couple.
Yeah.
Like, watching this movie, we had just seen recently The Birdcage, right? And, like, the heartbreak that the two dads feel that his son is getting married is kind of the same thing that, like, Pumbaa and Timon were going when Simba was falling in love with Nala.
Mm.
Yeah. It's there, guys. It is there.
Well... Are you part of the mentality that they're also animals? Do we really need to sexualize them? Is that important to see? Do we feel like there's proper representation if we see two species having a
homosexual? Oh, you're right. It's it's interspecies love.
Yeah.
What's your question? Because we know Nala and Simba bang. Well, but we know in nature, homosexuality exists in nature, not interspecies.
It does.
But the animals who engage in homosexual activities.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like I'm a pastor or something, but those animals aren't doing it. They're not engaging in that. See, I believe the animals that end up having those homosexual acts are not acting biologically how they're supposed to. They're not procreating, which is literally a biological nature function. Like that is actually about companionship almost.
The point is is that it's like, I don't know how much I need representation of, I'm speaking personally here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much I need representation of homosexuality within computer generated animals.
But Timon and Pumbaa were like gay guys in raising a kid.
But I also, what I got from it was enough for me.
That
they were like, they had a long-term relationship where it was like very much just those two. Mm-hmm. And they were like, can we keep him? Can he be our son? That was like as much as I needed. I don't know like how much more they could have fucking done. Like, do I need to watch them have sex? Like, no. Or like kiss.
We don't see the lions have sex.
No, yeah, nobody needs that.
Or they could have referred to each other as like partners or something. That's all I'm saying. It's all I'm asking for.
Well, so I thought though that like, I actually highly enjoyed Billy Eichner.
Oh, Billy Eichner was
so good.
Good.
So
Timon
good.
And Pumbaa.
That was one of the.
Pumbaa was played by Seth Rogen, FYI.
Yeah.
For me, that was like the best thing.
Yeah.
Was those two characters for me.
They were so funny.
The most with their scenes.
Yeah.
And I just thought, okay, this is fresh. This is what I want. This is something different. That was something that surprisingly really relatable. That kind of like developed the character even further.
Yes.
That these characters too. Yeah.
Oh, no. Timon was such a shithead.
It was like one of the best lines when Simba introduces Nala as
this is my best friend.
And Simba was like, okay, that hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's awesome.
That was so fucking
that's
funny.
Awesome.
Especially when like at first they meet Simba and he's like, why even bother? And Timon's like, oh my God, like I don't have enough problems in my own life. I have to fucking tend to him. Like just like his delivery was yes,
which
I get
it. And I think this is why maybe these characters resonated so much with us because it felt different from
it
the original
did.
One.
That was one of the only aspects that felt different and kind of refreshing. Mm-hmm. Because also when they came on the screen and they were comedic, it was all something I was not familiar with before. And it was very, very mm-hmm. good.
Oh, that voice acting was wonderful.
But even like the animation of their face, you remember that one moment where they're like, so how are we going to get these guys? And they go live bait, and then it just like cuts to Pumbaa's face. He's like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's just like not getting it.
Yeah.
Everyone in my theater was cracking up because like that reaction was mm-hmm. was comedic timing perfection.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I could not believe how well this film was computer, like just the animation of it.
Oh, actually, let's talk about that a little bit already.
So in the beginning, it's a shot for shot remake, right? You see the sunset, the animals start listening, they do everything, like, you know, that one shot with like
the ants,
and then it goes and you see the others. Yeah. So really remarkable. There's some moments though where you really look at some of the details and you're like, this looks fucking weird. There's a lot of shots of the sky. There are a lot of shots of nature.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of like sweeping shots of Nala and Simba running and falling in love, or like Simba escaping and all this stuff. So there's, I'm not looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at what exactly they want me to. Mm-hmm. Everything the light touches is our kingdom. Like, and then you look at the kingdom.
Okay, fair.
But so it was unbelievable to watch. But at the same time, I'm like, this feels so fucking fake. Nothing is real. Like, I know for a fact that nothing in that, not one shot is real.
Sure.
So it was kind of cold in a way.
I think, so I had a problem with the animation, to be honest. I think there are parts of it that look gorgeous and spectacular. But I think my problem with this movie was the animation of the characters' faces. They just, like, the voice acting was good at times. But their facial expressions just don't emote anything. And in computer animation, there's this thing called the Uncanny Valley. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
Okay, so the Uncanny Valley is this theory where our computer animation can get so sophisticated to the point that they look lifelike.
Yeah.
However, there's going to be something off that makes it feel fake. And as a result, there's like this weird, like almost like ugh feeling that we have.
Yeah.
And it was most noticeable. I think this phrase was coined during what's it called? Polar Express. Because Polar Express was a movie that tried to do that hyper-realism CGI and it was just like off-putting.
Interesting.
And I think this film has suffered from that a little, where the animation at points is just breathtaking. And then when you're like really focusing on the animals' faces and they're talking and stuff, it's just like, it's not good. Because they were trying to keep it too real. So, like, the faces, just as a result, you just couldn't, like, emote.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, are you even speaking? Mm. I can see what you're saying. So you felt, did that also get in the way of your connection to the characters?
Yes, a little, I would say.
Okay.
I think it definitely got it. For example, like, I liked the sequence... I'm going to be a mighty king.
Yeah.
Enemies beware. I like that sequence. However, whenever it was just like, you're just focusing on little Simba singing
mm-hmm.
and you hear the voice like kind of doing these like notes that you know from a visual point of view, if you're seeing someone hit those notes, their face is contorting in all sorts of different ways.
Yes.
Ways that the lion's face just did not. And it just like kind of takes like this element of like, it just throws you out of it a little.
So, you know, it's interesting that you bring up that particular musical number, because one of the notes that I wrote when I saw the film was how, you know, this film, the 2019 version, is very caught up in appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
So that in the cartoon, in that number in particular, like, remember that moment? Everybody look left. And then, like, all the animals go left. Everybody look right. And it became, like, this weird spectacle that wasn't, like, concerned with continuity. And it had more fun.
Yeah, and even the color scheme changed for that.
And the
sequence.
Color scheme changed, mm-hmm. and it was just like, it became this almost elaborate musical production number that wasn't present in the 2019. Mm-hmm. And it almost felt anticlimactic, and not only that, but it felt like very...
sterile?
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
I like that sequence. The problems of it not being a musical number didn't bother me as much as it was the Uncanny Valley. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
That's really early in the movie when I noticed it, and it was just like, yep, this is what I'm watching about the rest of the movie.
True.
So it was a shame.
Well, you know, one of the things that I noticed watching this film again and then watching it like be more like they actually are trying really hard to look like actual lions and stuff. I realized
they succeeded.
It was I applaud everything about it. I mean, I can never do any of that, obviously.
Yeah, me neither.
But I noticed something about the story surprisingly enough. Like the approach of doing it with this trying to look like live action process, I noticed that I think the film is kind of unfortunately inaccurate when it comes to like how lions actually act, because I'm under the impression that when lions have like clicks, that's not the word for it.
Packs.
Aren't they led by women?
No, the women do the hunting. They are led by the male.
Okay, so what was interesting about the film too is that like that pack is predominantly women.
Yeah, that's accurate though for that's accurate for lion.
But packs. Which is also crazy because the men in this film, like other than Mufasa, who is at the end of the day like a very noble, nice character, and, like that everybody wants him to be like his. Everybody wants him to be your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Simba was fucking useless until the end.
Most male lions tend to be useless.
And so, yeah. So, and that was something that I noticed for the first time while watching this version where I was like, oh, men are useless.
Well, male lions are useless.
Male lions are useless and like the real stars. And I feel like there should have been more about the women. I'm glad that like Sarabi got a couple of extra lines of dialogue.
Yes.
And I'm glad. Actually, no, Nala should have had more.
So.
Especially when you're Beyonce.
Thank you for saying that, because I thought me and Eddie have seen the Lion King musical separately. This is like I saw it before I even met Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, confirm or deny, but Nala has her own musical number in the Lion King.
What I remember.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually post if I find it on YouTube. I'm gonna post a link to it because I think she performed at a Tony one year, at the Tonys one year. But Nala has a song right before she leaves Pride Rock. Mm-hmm. It's like a really great number where she is just singing how she has to go. She has to go find help. And you have Beyonce. I don't understand why.
Use her.
Yeah. Like we've seen these movies bring in musical numbers from the Broadway shows. You have this great piece written already.
Yep.
And it's a great, it would have been a better sequence than the sequence they use in which Nala just trying to escape the pride.
Yeah, rock. And it's like this weird, like suspenseful moment.
It's a game of cat and mouse.
And it doesn't even make sense because how the hell does she get up there without them hearing it? Like, it's like there's all these problems with it, which I'm not going to think too much about. But at the same time, like, I would have liked a musical number. I was expecting
one. Like, hearing her, like, sing as she's just leaving, I would have preferred that.
Of course. I mean, so, you know, when they released the single for Can You Feel the Love Tonight, I actually got really excited because I was listening to Beyonce. And I was like, listen to this fucking magical bitch like sing this song beautifully, singing circles around Childish Gambino. I couldn't wait to hear more songs.
Can you feel the love tonight? The peace the evening brings. The world for once in perfect harmony with all its living things.
Childish Gambino held his own though with, I think, I mean, he's no Beyonce, but like I think he was still able to like perform that song very, very well. I think he sounded good.
And then when I saw the film and I realized that the only time that I was going to hear another Beyonce song was when they were running back and they did that sing that she song
Spirit.
That Spirit.
It's like the single.
Which is a good song. But I'm like, that's what they did? That's what they did?
That was annoying too because you. That also took that scene, that sequence took me out of the movie.
It did take me out of the movie.
Because I was listening to like a music single and I was just like, oh, this is not.
Whoa.
That's like,
but the song.
The song is where they threw in something new. Because your song is like,
yeah.
It's like a really happy, like, you know, seeing Simba like trollop towards Pride Rock. But this was hearing Beyonce in that sequence. I was just like, it's a good song, but like it also didn't fit thematically, I feel
it
like.
It didn't. No, it really didn't. And it's weird because, you know, we saw Aladdin. And Aladdin had a lot of fixes to it because Aladdin needed to be fixed. Now, people do not hold Aladdin to the same pedestal that they hold the Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's shit that could be changed about the Lion King. Mm-hmm. So why is it so precious that nothing was changed? Is there anything? Oh.
Not, yeah. I don't know. And I'm going to say not nothing, because I think the one thing that they introduced that I was kind of excited about a little when they introduced this character, well, it's a character we had seen in the original one, but it was the hyenas, kind of this whole leader mentality, right? They had a female leader too.
Yes.
That was kind of cool. Shenzi. She was originally, I think she was played originally by Whoopi.
She was.
Yeah, okay.
And she was kind of like grosser, but in this film, like, she was like scary and intimidating,
right,
and powerful.
And there was something about this introduction of like this kind of, the system that's like the opposing system to the lions, right?
Yeah.
Where I finally found it just like, okay, cool. Maybe they're gonna like flesh this out a little. They didn't. It was
they
a
did
little
not.
Heartbreaking because like I think they finally introduced a conflict that just wasn't Scar.
Yes.
And while Scar himself is great conflict, seeing this also play out would have been a little more exciting, I feel like.
They just, again, they had the opportunity to expand upon the women in this film and they didn't.
It's true. Yeah.
They did very minimal things.
Like making
for that.
And because she was an actual strong character,
yeah,
like just from like the few scenes we see her, and it's just like, oh, they could have done so much more with her.
They could have. And like I liked what they did with the hyenas, like those two boys and their relationship about the
one. Yeah,
one
of them was played by
him.
Peel. I thought the other one was Key, but it's not.
Yeah, that was cute, but I really liked that. I was like, oh, like I like this impression. And but yeah, after a while she almost kind of got like repetitive because it's like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this meal. It's like, but you said that already.
You did say that.
I'm like,
but she said it's Anala the second time.
Yeah. Well, whatever. So, expecting more because Beyonce's in the fucking role.
Yeah.
You know,
and
expecting
Beyonce
more from the women.
She had the same amount of lines as, like, the original Nala.
Yeah. So, what do we think about the fact that they also brought back James Earl Jones as Mufasa?
All right. I we already discussed this with Eddie on the ride here. Mm-hmm. But I actually think he kind of was a little lackluster. I don't think his voice had the same richness.
He's older.
Well, even then, like, it's just not... I don't know. And it's not even the quality of the voice. It's more so some of the lines that they had changed and like his delivery was a little weaker. Mm. Like there, it was like a lot less emotion in it for some reason. Because Mufasa was so compassionate, so caring. And here, I don't think he was. I think, well, less so.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I love Mufasa. He's a great character.
I don't understand why they didn't just take the original recordings from the
first
movie. It's just like, all right. I thought that's what they were going to do. It's just like, we're keeping James Earl Jones as Mufasa.
Yeah.
We're working the whole movie around these voices.
I'm surprised they didn't have to pay him twice, but I guess they did.
They wouldn't have to pay him for that one. They own that rights.
Well, if they did, but they hired him again, so they paid him twice. I'm surprised. But I did like Scar. I couldn't quite place who the actor was. And when I found out, I was like, oh my God.
I thought it was Idris Elba watching the whole movie. So I was just like, wow, he got typecasted for like the evil kitty. but it was not Idris Elba. It was oh,
Twiddle Olafor?
Yeah, was he Martin Luther King in Selma, I think, right?
No.
No, that was someone else?
He was in 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, 12 Years. Oh.
He was in Doctor Strange.
I feel so gypped that they didn't give me a musical number, Be Prepared, the way it was intended to be, I feel like that is one of my favorite Disney villain songs.
It was over so quick.
The only better one is like
Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Yeah. This is the next best one.
Yeah.
And the fact that it became like a poetry recital was, I was so mad. I was so infuriated.
Yeah. It was, maybe the actor can't sing.
But
even though he held
a
note.
No. Even he can't sing. You do what they did in the original Lion King. Matthew Broderick can't sing, so they had someone else do the singing.
True. People aren't trying to do that anymore.
It's just a movie, like,
and they're not actually acting.
Yeah,
they're just lending their voice. So let somebody else lend their voice.
And like, it's just like that song is so good.
Yeah,
like you just feel like Scar's rage. And here it just became like a speech and stuff. And also like the symbolism, like in the original one where they become Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, here they just like didn't do that. It's just like a missed opportunity.
I think so.
Because Scar is obviously a representation of Trump trying to oppress women.
Obviously.
And we're just waiting for Obama's son to take over. Wait, does Obama have children?
Two daughters.
Oh, that's
daughters.
Right. He has two daughters.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. I was trying to make it work into my Lion King.
Maybe we can get the Lion Queen.
That's going to be the most embarrassing moment right there of the podcast.
That's cute.
I had another issue with Childish Gambino kind of being underutilized because Donald Glover had that perfect voice that was Simba in the fact that like he has that capacity to play child, like Donald Glover can be very mature at times. Mm-hmm. If you've seen Atlanta, we know this. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, when you watch a Community, you know he has that kind of infantileness to him, to his delivery specifically. And I was getting bits and pieces of that, but not enough. Because they kind of rushed, as soon as he became an adult, they kind of rushed me right to the ending.
They did. But that also begs the question, like, why did this need big movie stars in it?
Is Donald Glover a big movie star?
Everybody knows who Donald Glover is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't call him a big movie star.
Well, he's a big star.
He's,
star.
He's like a B-lister.
Anyway.
A-list is Beyonce.
Yeah, she's like, wait, like for a role like that, like seriously, girl, you deserve
I would say A+, but that's just me.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you. I would say A+ too, yes.
Fine, A+.
Like, they underutilized Queen Bey, and then they also just like, it didn't need to be Donald Glover. It didn't, like, I think that, especially for like a big role, like the main character, I just, it was like almost just to have the big name there. He didn't really need to do that much is the point.
It's true.
Like, Queen Bey didn't either.
No, yeah. It's just like, it was just star power.
Yeah.
To add to the movie.
But I'm glad because, you know, have you heard that new Beyonce album? Or like the stuff that she did for Lion King? It's so good.
Spirit?
There's other songs.
Oh, she did. There's more songs? Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was just the one song.
No, we got some new Beyonce music.
That's cool.
This,
so it's actually, good. I will say this. Like, remember how we were complaining about movies not having singles anymore?
Yeah.
And like this movie
it's
has a single.
Back.
Soundtrack. No, singles like related to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you mean Spirit?
Like Spirit.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. That will, like, they just released a music video this week, which we'll add in show notes for sure.
For sure.
So that's nice.
That is nice. So, a shot for shot remake. Do you think it was needed?
A shot for shot remake. Do I think it was needed? No, I don't think this remake was needed. That's my opinion.
Why?
I think the shot for shot remake wasn't needed because it doesn't bring anything new to the table other than photorealism.
Yes.
And that's fine, but I'm not going to see... I didn't see the original Lion King for its photorealism. I went to see it to see a brother kill a brother.
Yeah.
I went to see it for the family struggle that I hope one day I find myself in with my children.
I love how brother kill a brother is first. And then the family dynamics and the struggles are after. But yeah.
I went to see The Lion King, obviously, for the music.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. Like, if the movie was, like, basically just computer animated. So I don't know. It's just, like, why... Like, why go into this realm of, like, realism?
Yeah.
Why not just go into a 3D animated cartoonish movies?
Okay.
At that point,
if you need to go at all, Eddie, do you have a thought?
Okay, I have one last thing afterwards.
Okay.
After you
Sorry.
Guys, I will say one off. Thing where I think this movie could work.
Okay.
But it's not a movie.
I definitely didn't. My opinion didn't feel like it was needed for me.
Mm.
Okay. Who loved The Lion King animated? Who saw the play? Who bought the soundtrack, who bought the music inspired by the movie soundtrack.
There was a music inspired by the...
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, I mean, I really love the story, stuff like that. I feel like I needed... But I also thought, too, because, you know, being in the crowd of all these kids, being in awe about it, saying that, you know, once again, Disney knows their target audience. They're giving this story to a new generation of Disney kids.
Yeah.
Or kids growing up in really, this generation of children are growing up in a Disney saturated environment. I mean,
yeah, Disney,
Disney
owns so
now
much.
Owns their comics,
yep.
Their streaming services, yep. Their movies. It just is just there. So it's,
yeah. I mean, that was one thing I noticed too in the theater where that some of the children there had never seen it before. And that
right.
was interesting.
Do you think that's disappointing, though, that they did not... Do you
no,
think,
not at all.
No, because are they going to... Do you think they'll ever watch the original Lion King?
If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. Now, this is part of their new childhood. You're only saying that because it was such an important part of your childhood.
Yes, I agree. No. I agree with Eddie 100%. Like, yeah. I actually take issue with people who are saying, it's ruining my childhood. It's like,
yeah,
no, it's not.
No,
your childhood
it's
not. Is fine.
Yeah.
This is actually for the people who have childhoods now.
Yeah, like, your child's over with.
Yeah.
Get over with.
It's just like, it's same thing with Ariel when we were talking about last week.
Yes, listen to that episode. So, as the co-host of this podcast, this might be weird for me to say, but like, did this film need to be remade? No, because no film really ever needs to be remade. These Bob Iger is convinced that these films need to be remade because they need to be adapted for us today. That's why he's embarking on so many of these. And I think he's wrong, because all of these films are products of their generation. They're flawed and they don't necessarily need to be fixed, because they came out when they did and they embody state of mind and what people were looking for, whatever, when they came out, right? The Last Supper does not to be updated just because the technology and everything that when The Last Supper came out wasn't like it is today. So it doesn't need to be fixed, because it did what it did when it came out and it was released. You know what I'm saying? So no, it didn't need to be remade. And I think especially it didn't need to be remade when you don't fix anything about it. If you are convinced that the reason why you need to remake these films is because they need fixing, they need to be like adapted to today, then do that. You didn't do that at all. There were some shots where I'm like, oh my God, I remember this shot from the 1994. This is the exact same thing. And it's, you know, a very famous film that did that before was Psycho. But what was interesting about the fact that the Psycho remake was a shot for shot was that the tone was completely different, which is why it's a very interesting film. People hate it.
I hate it.
But Vince Vaughn. But Gus Van Sant directed it. But the tone of the film, even though it's a shot-for-shot remake, is a completely different film. Very interesting to watch and to compare. But The Lion King is the same thing. The tone is the same. The tone is the same. It's the same.
I actually think this one tried to be more real, more serious.
It got caught up with trying to appear real, like these are real lions. Therefore, the continuity was important, and not being like the cartoon would go into these elaborate musical numbers that like had no time for realism. And because of that, like I said before, it felt a little bit more sterile, but that was how I felt. They still had the same exact tone as the filmmakers who were making this film. They didn't change anything. I just felt differently about it.
I think this movie tried to be more serious than it was a cartoon. Cause The Lion King was a cartoon, and sure, they kept like, I'm talking about the musical numbers and all that stuff. I think there was like this element of like, kind of like, this is, you know how you're always complaining about dark gritty reboots?
I was literally just thinking that.
So that's similar to what they did here. They kind of added the realism. Sure, is like its own factor, but with that realism, they were also trying to add like a level of like, this shit is real with this movie, which I don't think The Lion King needs, because we're watching
doesn't need it.
Lions and tigers and bears.
My. Where did we see bears?
In The Jungle Book, because I'm convinced they're in the same universe. Actually, what I wanted to say is, like, I think this movie actually would have worked very, very well if they had not gone the movie route. As I was watching this, I was thinking, just like, oh, this would make a beautiful, like, video game. Like, just playing as Simba. Because The Lion King... the games based off of The Lion King was my favorite for Sega Genesis. And just, I was just imagining, like, if I could like control Simba during the stampede, but with these graphics, I would love that. Like, give me an open world Pride Lands where I'm Simba and I'm like, you know, trying to become king. That's what I wanted. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a non-video game gamer, I can't.
But you could appreciate video game qualities, no? I guess if you haven't.
If I don't indulge in it, then yeah.
It's like a hard thing to... Okay, fair.
Interesting.
But that's how I was feeling when I was watching this movie. Like, I kind of wish this was actually a video game.
Yeah.
That I could, like, control Simba and kind of explore the Pride Rocks.
Yeah. Lightning round?
Yeah, now we can do a lightning round.
Lightning round.
All right, so let's start from, like, minimal character to bigger character. So how about, like, Zazu?
Oh, I liked John Oliver.
I did like him. I think he was so similar in his approach to the original Zazu that I might as well just go with the original Zazu because I didn't get anything really that new.
All right.
Timon and Pumbaa.
I'm going to go with a new Timon and Pumbaa.
I'm going to go with the new. I love Nathan Lane, and I love the delivery of the Pumbaa actor. Like, when he's telling that story in Hakuna Matata, and it's so dramatic, very funny. And Seth Rogen didn't do it because Seth Rogen clearly cannot sing, and he had to struggle with it. But they really, really, they played to me with their banter and with like their jokes, and it really hit home.
I agree with you. For example, even that song, right? One of the gags in it is the fact that he doesn't say he farted.
Yeah.
But in this one, he says farted. He's like, wait, you're not going to stop me? And the Simba's like, no, you're disgusting. You should hear yourself. And it was hilarious. It was funny.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. Mm-hmm. So that was funny.
Because kids have seen like decapitations at this point, I'm sure. So
yeah, it's not the same.
Disney knows, just like, this is nothing.
I guess the hyenas.
Oh man, I'm gonna go with a new one.
Yeah, I liked the fact that they weren't just like doofuses, and that they expanded just a little bit on Shinzi's background. Yeah. So I would go the new one too. Sarabi.
And they were both basically the same. I don't think I got anything different from this one. Had more lines, but they mucked up that sequence where, like I said, it's just like, if you were half the king, Mufasa was, and he smacks her. Yeah. She didn't say that line, and I was just so upset in this movie. So you know what? Just for that, I'm gonna go to the original Sarabi.
Yeah, they weren't that different. So yeah, I guess I'll go with the original too. I'm not motivated to go with either or, and that's a shame because I should be.
Because
she's one of the few female characters, so I should feel some way about it.
I guess. She's just Simba's mom.
She's just a mom. Wow. F
you. Oh, that's true. She is the queen.
But yeah, she's the queen.
She doesn't rule.
She should.
I mean, I would watch The Lion Queen anytime.
It's called The Lion King 2, Simba's Pride. He has a daughter.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about that. Rafiki, anything?
I'm going to go with the original Rafiki.
I'm going to go with the new one because when I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, the old one, he was kind of like more stereotypical, and like his laughter and the way like he kind of represented something.
That's
yeah,
what he
like
does, yeah.
Really crazy. And they really toned it down for this one. And
they toned it down. I think they toned it down too much.
Mm.
I prefer like that.
He seemed like an old Japanese samurai.
Yes. Yeah. Like. And he's in Africa, though. So it's just like, well, I mean, it's just.
I mean, are we really going to pick at that?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I liked it. Nala.
They were about the same. I feel like, actually, I might go with the original Nala because, like, it didn't have the potential of a, you know, minimizing Beyonce's.
Yes, that was like, exactly what I was going to say. I'll go with the original because they didn't disappoint me with the fact that they did not utilize Queen Bey.
Thank you. You phrase that much better than me.
Yeah. So it's not even Beyonce's fault. It's never Beyonce's fault.
No, it's not Beyonce's fault on this one. It was definitely a misstep that they took with this film.
Yes. Scar.
Jeremy Irons. The original Scar.
I really liked the new one, but yeah, he's so good.
You know why? Because he sang. Be prepared.
Yeah. It's a great song.
It's great.
And he did a great job as an asshole Scar.
Although I do like the fact that they kind of introduced a little more what's the word? Backstory.
Yeah.
In like the exposition with him, like kind of the beef that he has with Mufasa.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of flesh out a little more than just being the angry, bitter brother. But the performance from Scar was just good. Oh, by the way, I went to ask. Scar, the original Scar, do you think that was queer baiting?
No.
No?
No.
You don't think he had a little bit of queer tendencies?
No, he's just English.
I think he was. Well, that's hence. Oh, you're right. Maybe that just confuses me. But, like, he seemed a little more. Mufasa was, like, this, like, kind of strong, beefy, like, alpha male.
Yeah.
And I feel like Scar was, like, effeminate almost.
I think he was more conniving.
It was more
and more verbally and emotionally abusive.
But that actually used to be very common for queer coding.
That used to be. I never picked up on it.
Not always, but like later in life, I was always like kind of wondering. It's just like, I think Scar is kind of queer baiting. Because Scar was always like the more effeminate one.
I kind of miss the fact that like Scar is also so clearly a different color temperature from the rest of the lions. Because at the end, when they were like all fighting, I'm like, which one's Scar?
It's true. Yeah.
I could not tell them apart. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. Mufasa.
Was there a difference?
Yes, you said there was a difference.
In like delivery, but like it's the same character. It's the same voice.
Original Mufasa.
I went with the original Mufasa too.
That's the one that stole our hearts in the first place. So.
Yes, fine.
He really did it great the first time.
Also, I had so much to complain about. I forgot. The fact that they didn't show Mufasa in those clouds, I was furious about that also.
You didn't like that?
No. It's just, come on. Like, that is, like, such a beautiful sequence in the original
They're
one.
Too concerned with being real.
I was so disappointed. Eddie says he saw it for, like, a second when the lightning hit.
Yeah, that. Yeah, you see, like,
it I didn't see it. And I was trying my damnedest to, like, make sure.
I saw that.
Yeah, I missed it. I must have blinked. because I was so mad.
I saw it.
I don't want to see, like, Mufasa just in the clouds. I want to see, like, actual physical Mufasa in the clouds.
Yeah, I guess. But that's also misleading. Like, when you're down on your dumps, your dead father is not going to come and talk to you from the clouds.
It's a fantasy movie. Lions don't talk.
Right, but in this one, it clearly, yes. But they were trying... I'm defending the movie, unfortunately, in the sense where it's... They don't want you to get any unrealistic things other than the fact that they're talking.
All right. So,
Simba.
Hmm. Baby young Simba or old Simba?
All Simba.
I think I like Donald Glover's Simba. It felt right.
I feel like this Simba just got, like, way too detached, but, like, for no reason.
What do you mean? He saw his father die, and he thought it was his fault.
But, like, at the same time, like, Timon and Pumbaa just had so much of an influence on him, and it just became, like, ugh, whatever.
But that's the same.
I feel like
that was the same thing that happened to the other Simba.
The connection, no, but the connection from the original Simba to realizing who he was, I felt it more. I didn't feel it in this film. I don't know why. Something was off.
No, I felt it. The beats all made sense, I think, for me.
It's interesting how these little things... It's the actor portrayal. Maybe I didn't like Donald Glover's portrayal as much.
I thought he did. I wish they had done more with him, to be honest. Yeah. So I was a little disappointed. Maybe it's because I hear it and I'm listening to when he's talking to Nala for the first time, right? Mm. I'm hearing not necessarily Donald Glover, but I'm hearing Troy Barnes from Community, which is kind of, again, that... man child, because that's what he was.
Yeah,
right. He was like stunted because it's like, look, like, I'm not gonna be king. I killed my dad.
Yeah,
I don't deserve to go back to the Pride Lands.
True. Overall, would you recommend for people to see this film?
If you have kids, I would say
five and up,
go check it up. I don't. If you have kids, they'll like it.
Yeah, and don't rush.
Or if you have like older parents.
Yeah, I took my mother to see it, so that was nice.
Did she love it?
She enjoyed it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to probably take my mom next week, so I'm going to sit through this movie again, but mostly because I want my mom to see, because I feel like
she would
love
it. Yeah, because it's just nostalgia. You're just revisiting it, because it's literally the same thing.
Yeah, I think for the passive moviegoer, and I'm just getting a base reaction from like the theater that I was in, because I was nestled between an older lady and a child, but like they were enthralled. They love this. So I think for a passerby moviegoer, like, this is a movie that's going to hit all the right spots. Nostalgia, beautiful, and performances were fine.
Okay.
And the musical numbers are, you know, the music is catchy.
Just wish it was a completely original film, but whatever.
I mean, I just wish they didn't do it, to be honest.
Yeah, it wasn't needed. Aladdin, I would say, out of them, was the more needed a purpose film.
Out of the ones we saw this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not the Lion King, which is really crazy.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed because I wanted this movie to be great.
You did, but you also had Jungle Book expectations. So.
I did, because Jungle Book is to date, Jungle Book is my favorite of the Disney remakes.
Mm.
And
listen to that episode if you haven't heard it.
Right, but I thought that Lion King would kind of replace that one because it's Jon Favreau. Yeah. And it just didn't. So I was just like, oh, fucking bummer. So it's right now... Jungle Book, then Aladdin, then I guess The Lion King after that, and then everything else, whatever.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
I think Beauty and the Beast is the only one. Dumbo doesn't count.
Dumbo counts.
Because it's not, they didn't really do the same thing. They made a completely different film.
Just the second half.
I guess.
The movie's so short that they...
Most of it is different.
No. The first half of that movie is basically the first act of the whole movie. Dumbo's a short movie.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram, Remakes, Reboots, Revivals, or you can email us, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. Where else can they reach out to us?
Did you say Facebook?
No.
Facebook.
Okay, Facebook.
If you search
Just
search for Remakes, Reboots, Revivals.
Yeah.
We'll show up.
Alrighty, guys.
Yeah, that's that.
Well, if you saw it, you got to let us know. If you didn't see it and you heard this podcast, let us know. Just let us know anything you want.
It's true.
That has to do with our show.
All right, guys. Well, until next time,
stay unoriginal.